tonight's teaching is going to be understanding faith, power, and authority. Just because we have feelings and emotions doesn't mean we're right. I saw something on Facebook that says, just because you're offended doesn't mean you're right. Sometimes people get so offended they think that you're still wrong. I'm sorry. Well, no, I'm not sorry you're offended, depending on the situation. But sometimes we do have a fight that's going on. We have two natures inside of us. So you just say, when our feelings are genuine or whatever, we have to bring it back to the Word. Jesus Christ did not feel like dying on the cross, but He did do it. So even when His feelings are contrary, He said, Father, nevertheless, not my will, Your will. We're going to be understanding faith, power, and authority. We're going to Mark 9. On page 44 in the Rotherham. It's okay to feel. But feelings don't get us from here to our vacation spot, do they? Mm-hmm. We have maps, we have GPSs. I feel like it's this way. Somebody goes, well, the map says this. The GPS says that's north. Well, I feel like it's south. What's your GPS say? It says it's north. Yeah, okay, well, we're voting. We're just going to use things. So feelings are good, but they're not supposed to dictate everything. But if somebody would read the 9th chapter of Mark, 14 through 17, please.
And coming in unto the disciples, they saw a large multitude around them, and scribes discussing with them. And straightway all the multitude, seeing him, were greatly amazed, and running near, began saluting him. And he questioned them, what are you discussing with them? And one out of the multitude answered him, Teacher, I brought my son unto thee, having a dumb spirit, and wheresoever it seizeth him, it teareth him, and he foameth and grindeth his teeth, and weareth himself out. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast it out, and they could not. But he, answering, saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and seeing him, the spirit straightway tear him, and falling upon the ground, he wallowed, foaming. And he questioned his father, how long a time is it that this has befallen him? And he said, from childhood, and many times hath it cast him both into fire and into waters that it might destroy him. But if anything be possible to thee, help us, having compassion upon us. And Yahushua said unto him, as for this, if it be possible to thee, all things are possible to him who hath faith. Straightway crying out, the father of the child was saying, I have faith. Help my want of faith. And Yahushua, seeing that a multitude is running together, rebuked the impure spirit, saying unto it, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I give orders unto thee. Come forth out of him, and do not any more enter into him. And crying out and greatly mangling him, it came forth, and he became as if dead, so that the more part were saying, he is dead. But Yahushua, grasping his hand, raised him, or egairo him, as he stood up. And when he had gone into a house, his disciples privately were questioning him, why were we not able to cast it out? And he said,
this is a great analogy. Let's look at some of these things and dissect what exactly happened here. You know, it was neat. How many people know that sometimes it's not enough to know what you're supposed to do? You guys ever know? Do you know any Christians that know what they're supposed to do,
yeah,
but they can't do it?
Yeah.
Don't smack your big brother. Oh, I know I'm not supposed to hit him. You know what you're supposed to do. That's not the problem. It's not knowledge necessarily. And so you're going to say, what's going on here? So sometimes our Father's asking us to leave something. And one of the hardest things it can be to give up is relationships. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think drug addictions, alcohol addictions, and these other things, they're tough. But relationships is always really tough. But we're going to look at the situation here because this looks like a failure. This thing looks like... And can you imagine when the boy looked like he was dead?
Yeah.
Well, I never noticed this until right now. Let me back up to Malai's teaching. How great is that? That the eunuch kept reading even though he didn't understand it.
Yeah.
Golly, how many people here don't read if you don't understand it? I started daydreaming. I'm still reading, but I'm going through it. And, it's always a sign when I know I'm not really reading. When I go back, and then after like 5 minutes, I go, oh, I already read that. It shouldn't have took you 5 minutes to realize you've already read that. But here's the unicorn.
Yeah.
Here, but hey, I got a question for you. You can open this book. You could be 9 years old, 8 years old, 10 years old, or any one of us. And you go, I don't understand this. And guess what? You can ask the author. He's in the room. Dad, what does this mean? And he's going to say, I'm glad you asked. The eunuch asked. And then how cool is that with Philip disappearing, teleporting? Just like Elijah. He's gone. And then how about when he popped up to somebody's house? You can imagine somebody's dinner. Here's mom cooking. All of a sudden she turned around. Oh, great. Now I have the food. Where'd he come from? I didn't even see the door open. But isn't that neat? Can that still happen today?
Yes.
Yeah. Would that motivate you if you got to be a part of a testimony like that with Philip? Mm. Yeah. We're supposed to be embrace your position in the body of Christ, but be seeking after the greater gifts. Embrace yourself. But we look back at what's interesting. The disciples, did they have authority? Anybody remember Luke 10:19? Love, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents, scorpions, all powers of the enemy. Go heal, go sick, go. The 70 went out and they came back. They were like, it worked! And he was like, yeah, I'm shocked. but it did work, didn't it? But here, when it's not working, what would you do? And I actually had an experience like this in Kenya. When it didn't work, guess what happened? With me, started unbelief.
Yeah.
I saw a vampire movie once, and there was a vampire, and then people would hold up a cross. She goes, you have to have faith. But it was a bluff. And then he'd kill whoever had the cross. And then at the end of the movie, the vampire goes, you have to have faith to use that thing. And he goes, I got faith. And then all of a sudden, the vampire shrinks back and he kills the vampire. That's our adversary. What happened when the boy wasn't delivered? There's an argument going on. And who's talking? The scribes. Who killed Jesus Christ?
Scribes.
Were the religious people, were they healing this boy? No. Do you think religious people would jump all over anything that looked like a failure? Were they hoping Jesus Christ would fail? Yeah. In fact, he didn't even say he was the Messiah until the very end. They were waiting to kill this guy. So when it looks like this little boy can't get healed, who jumps in? Aha, come over here. We'll explain this to you. What do you think is happening here? What do you think the disciples felt like?
Failures.
What do we need here? What do we need? Would we possibly need more faith? You can see, if Jesus Christ is going to tell you to go do something, and we're going to feel like maybe I don't have enough faith. And then here's another really interesting thing. Verse 17. The father of the kid, in verse 17, says, I brought my son unto thee. And he says, and thy disciples, they could not. What is implied here? Who failed?
Disciples.
You and your disciples. He didn't say, I just want to just help my son. Is that what he said? No. He goes, you guys haven't healed him. What's going on here? Have you ever seen people who deny Jesus Christ and his father all the time? And then as soon as there's a tornado, they say it's an act of God?
Yeah.
Yeah. The only time you hear God is when something horrible happens. They hear that and he's going, what's your fault? Your fault. You blame Jesus Christ. And I don't think it was malicious. And by the results here, you're going to see that I think it was genuine. But was it right? This goes for all of us, probably me chief here. Have you ever went into on a faith walk expecting wonderful things and it didn't work?
Yeah.
How quickly did you start blaming people?
Immediately.
And things? I knew that we were going to get a flat tire. You use up all the glue on purpose. You know, here's all these things. You're going to blame somebody. That's the old man here. This guy is blaming Jesus Christ. And what do you think the disciples felt like? Man, what's going on here? And Jesus Christ, what he did when he came back, what did he do? Did he scold his disciples and say, come on, guys, where's your faith? No.
He instructed.
He looked at it. Did Jesus Christ have to produce faith? He's our princely leader. Without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing. What we have to remember is Jesus Christ did not know the future. He didn't know these things. Who had to produce more faith than anybody who ever was born?
Yes.
Jesus Christ, Yahushua. Did he know what was going on here? No. If Jesus Christ knew what was going to happen here, Yahushua, would he need faith? No. I mean, if we went back in time, we're like, hey, guys, relax. Well, how are you so certain? Well, I've seen the movie. Does that take faith?
Right.
Here Christ comes back, he's going, what's going on here? And he looks at this, and the disciples are going, oh, man, now the scribes are getting involved. I can only imagine this argument that's going. You can put a whole movie in this right here. Now what happens next is Jesus Christ starts looking at it. Or Yehoshua starts going, what's going on here? Does he blame the disciples? Is it a faith problem? What's going on here? And what's interesting, verse 22, Jesus Christ goes to the Father. You guys know how to troubleshoot? Trying to plug in the VCR, plug in the Xbox. Yeah. Something's not working. The car's dead. Why is the car dead? Is it this? Check this. That's not working. Crank it again. Check this. It's still not working. Well, check this out. Yehoshua's troubleshooting, and he's our leader. Did he bail? Did he start blaming his father? Oh, Father, what did you do? Now there's a child here. Oh, look at the child. Now he starts tweaking on this engine. Try it again. Crank that sucker.
Yeah.
And here's this little boy. Are demons involved? Is spiritual wickedness involved? Yes. Did spiritual wickedness realize that this is the son of Yahweh? Most likely. Are they throwing out a bluff? Yes. And what happened is, who did the father blame? Verse 22. And many times in verse 22, hath it cast him into the fire and into the waters, that it might destroy him. But if anything be possible to thee, help us, having compassion on us. What did the father think was missing here? He says, anything's possible to you, Jesus Christ. Didn't he? Mm-hmm. He just said it. What's missing? Compassion. All that's missing is just deliver him. You can do anything you want, Jesus. What did the father feel was the problem here? You can do anything you want. Just have some compassion. Let's get this over with. What are we messing around with? That's what he thought. What did Jesus Christ say? So what was he saying? What was the problem here? It says in 1 John, if I have money, and Kevin and Grace need money, and I don't give it to them, even if they don't know I have it, how do I say the love of God is within me? I doubt. There is no love. Love is action. Right. If I have food and raiment, and somebody needs food and raiment, whether they know it or not, and I withhold it, how does the love of God abide within you? You guys ever heard that?
Mm-hmm.
Through withholding? If Jesus Christ had the healing and he's withholding the healing, how does he have the love of God within him?
Yeah.
If Yahweh can heal this person, and he chooses not to heal him, he doesn't even have his own love. You ever thought about that? Isn't that interesting? Dad brought that up. I'm going to go, he's guilty of his own first job. What's missing here? Verse 23, he says, the father says, God is in control. He can do whatever he wants. Just have some compassion. That's all that's missing here. And Jesus Christ, and he go, you're right. What's he say? Verse 23. And Yehoshua, after all the blame was put on him and his father, said unto him, as for this, if it be possible to thee, pointed the right back on the father, all things are possible to him who has faith. He says, you. He put it back on the father. He goes, all things are possible to has faith. So what's happening here? And straightway crying out, the father of the child was saying, I never noticed this till right now. What's he say? What did he say out loud?
I have faith.
What does Romans 10:17 say? Faith comes by hearing the spoken word. What did the father just do? He has activated faith. He has activated faith right there. Boom! Turn to 2 Peter 3:9. So we look at scriptures, what's going on here. When things aren't going right and we start blaming people, here's Jesus Christ or Yehoshua. What's missing here? And I think of him just underneath an engine. Crank it now. Try it again. That didn't work. In the meantime, there's some boy that's possibly going to commit suicide. Everybody's freaking out. The scribes and the Pharisees. Ah, see, a sovereign God, he's just testing you. And Jesus Christ goes, no, I know what the problem is. It's the Father. Where was the problem? The Father. And the Father had not rose up to the faith for the heal his son. Who did the Father blame? It wasn't my fault. It's his fault. He can do anything he wants. And Jesus Christ, but the neat thing about the Father, was it malicious of the Father and the Son? No. He was just helping me. And Jesus Christ goes, you're the problem. And this was an aha moment. You're troubleshooting. You go, what is it? Is it this? Is it this? He goes, I found it. It's the Father. Your faith's messed up. My faith? He goes, yeah, it's not my disciples. It's not me. It's not my dad. We know it's not my dad. Grace works for FedEx. If there's a problem with shipping and receiving, and Yahweh, the creator of the universe, is in the shipping department, the problem's probably in
receiving.
Yeah. Don't blame. Oh, it's FedEx again. No, I hear the whole thing in 2 Peter 3:9. Would somebody please read verse 9?
The Lord, you said verse 9?
Yeah.
3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, and some count slackness, but is long suffering with regard to you, not being minded that any should perish, but that all unto repentance should come.
It says it right here. It says, religion says that Yahweh's got his arms crossed. He can do anything he wants. He's in control of everything. Well, then why are horrible things happening? Well, you just got to trust. He's in control. That's what they say. Does this, anywhere in the Word, does it ever say he's in control?
No.
What does it say? It says he is not slack. He's not withholding back right here. As some consider slackness, he doesn't want any to perish, but that all come into repentance. Is it his will that we get healed? Does anybody know Isaiah? By his stripes you're healed. Why is there sin? Why is there wars and stuff? Adam and Eve, we inherited genetics. We saw a thing of homosexuality. This woman was a homosexual professor, and she was going to go do this whole, I don't remember what it was, like a thesis or something on Christianity, but she wasn't going to do it by name calling. She was going to actually research this book. And she, this is hilarious. Yeah. And she goes, so she went to the Christians to try to understand what this book was about, what Christians were doing. And she said, she found out that most Christians read their Bible like a horoscope. She goes, that's not how you're going to understand any subject. You got to read the whole book. She goes, so the Christians weren't even the experts. She had to read the book. So she read the Bible, Yahweh's Word, 5 hours a day to try to understand this story. And do you know what happened?
Yeah.
This thing's alive. This woman started transforming. She started changing from the inside out. This thing, you ever seen Harry Potter when they start reading spells? Well, that's fake. This is real. And this woman, as she's reading 5 hours a day just to try to understand it, she had one of her very perverted friends come to her during a dinner meeting, and he goes, I need to talk to you. She was like, what? He goes, you got to stop reading that book. She says, why? He goes, you're changing. You're not the same person. What was she doing? Was she preaching? No. She was reading. She was feeding on something. And this guy goes, and she goes, no, it's just this and that. And the guy goes, you don't understand. I used to be a minister. I was a Presbyterian minister before I became a transvestite.
Yeah.
And he goes, you don't understand the power that you're messing with. And she was like, but what if it's now? She got to the other side going, what if it's right? Mm-hmm. And now she's going around and teaching. But what the woman says, and people say like a homosexuality, they believe, well, I believe he's born this way. Or they're born. And she goes, you're right. People are born with the fall of Adam. All of us have tendencies. Mm-hmm. Do you have impulses to punch somebody in the face?
Yeah.
Yes. Do you do it? No, because it's wrong. And she starts explaining, Romans 1 says, we all inherited these genetics. Whose fault is it? It's Adam and Eve that we inherited. Now it's up to us what we do. They killed the old man. She goes, you're supposed to kill it every day. You kill it, you strip it off, and one day you're going to need to talk to Adam and Eve about it. If they're there. Thanks a lot! I had a lot of stuff to overcome, and in their defense, they'll go, well, you have a lot of rewards for everything you did do. But in the scriptures, in the Word here, what does it say when things, bad things are happening? Adam and Eve, then we have the adversary, then we got the hands and feet of the adversary, men and women. Horrible things are happening. But the religion of that little boy who was not getting healed, what was missing there? Was it Yahweh was withholding? That's what the father was thinking. And I wonder, I speculate, when the scribes were talking to the father, what do you think they were saying?
Yeah, same thing.
Do you think they were saying, just believe. Just believe in this. No, they were not.
God's will.
They're saying, he doesn't love you. Or something horrible. But anyways... But the neat thing is it looks like Jesus Christ gave us some faith, didn't he? But he says, I have faith! Do you know how you get faith? Or how do you speak it out loud? But anyways, when somebody says God's in control, you go, how does that reconcile to the rest of the Bible? Specifically with 2 Peter 3:9. It says that he is not waiting around. He's waiting around on us, actually. Obey! Jesus Christ says we're his hands and feet. Yeah. Are we always active? No. So his will is done when we obey. So So 2 Peter 3:9 is great with that verse. What was the problem? Why this child whose life was dangling? Can you imagine a baby throwing himself into the fire, into the water? You know how horrible that'd be if that was your son? Mm. What was wrong here? User error. You guys ever had user error? Mm-hmm. Cell phones?
All the time.
Electronic ignition? Key fobs? This stupid key! Oh, it's the wrong car. My truck goes over. User error! One that looks like the word is not working. What is the most likely problem? It's user error. And if we don't understand why something's not happening, take it to just the life of Jesus Christ. And it says in Romans 8, if he spared not his only son for you, you think he would withhold healing? What? You think that he wants you to have problems with, like, marital problems? Oh, he gave you everything. What's missing here? It's understanding. Be like the eunuch. Open the book up. It's there, but it's user error. And not understanding faith. So what was the problem, to the best of our knowledge, with the son? Why wasn't he being delivered? It's my opinion, it was an authority problem. Jesus Christ did not say, you need more faith. He did not go to his disciples and shake his finger, you need more faith, did he? No. He actually left them apart. And what he did is he resolved it. And it is my opinion that it was an authority problem. Because if a demon or demonic influence gets invited into somebody's life, it'd be like if I had a gangbanger, a drug dealer that came over to my house and slept on the couch all the time. And then Kevin goes, not in this house, you're out. Does he own this house? Well, I might be quiet with Kevin. As soon as Kevin leaves, I'm like, psst. Don't worry about him. I'm going to invite him back in. So there is authority, and demons and spiritual influences, they're just like bad people and bad influences. Have you ever tried to talk to somebody who's always in trouble? You go, stop hanging out with that guy. I know, Kevin, you're right. And then next week you see him together again, you're like, what are you doing? Do you have authority to tell that person, don't see them anymore? No, you don't have authority. You can try to help them. That's what Jesus Christ was doing. The reason why the boy was not healed was an authority problem. And if the authority was... the father was a problem, not faith. And we're going to find out here. Luke 17:1. I forgot to write down the page number. So there's authority.
What?
Luke 17:1. So if somebody has spiritual wickedness or something, you see somebody who might be demonized or something like that, you see the something, you don't just get to deliver them up from it. Because there is authority. We do have power. Can a police officer come into my house and start confiscating my property?
No.
I'm a police officer. You don't have that kind of authority. Well, I'm a police officer. Yeah, you better get the heck out of my house or I'm going to shoot you, Mr. Police Officer. I'm a police... Get out of my house. You've been warned again. Get the video camera.
Yeah.
Get out. Is he a police officer? Yeah, but he doesn't have the authority to come into my house. We have to understand there's power, there's authority, there's principalities, and then there's going to be faith. So a police officer cannot physically stop a car, can he?
No.
But he represents some things. And remember, our Father's watching this whole thing. And if you get in line with His Word with power and authority, and all of a sudden you find out, wait a minute, we can't deliver this boy from the demons. Why? I think the Father's the one that gave him the demons. And the, you need to, oh, okay, do you want your son to be delivered? Oh, boy, I'm the problem? Yeah, you're the problem. What do I... do you want to be delivered? Yes. Okay, demons got to go. Demons are like, oh, man, the jig's up. We're out. We just got evicted. Luke 17:1-8. Would somebody please read that?
I will.
Thank you.
And he said unto his disciples, it is impossible that occasions of stumbling should not come, notwithstanding, alas, for him through whom they do come. It profiteth him if a millstone is hung about his neck and he is cast into the sea, then that he should cause one of these little ones to stumble. Be taking heed yourselves. If thy brother sin, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Even if 7 times a day he sinneth against thee, and 7 times turneth to thee, saying, I repent, shalt thou forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, bestow on us faith. And the Lord said, if ye have faith like a grain of mustard seed, ye should be saying unto this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But whom from among you, having a servant...
No, that's good right there. So, Yehoshua tells his disciples, if When are we to forgive people? If they repent.
Whenever.
It says it right there. It says, if he repents, you got to forgive him. He goes, well, how many times have I got to forgive this guy? This guy steals a lot. He goes, 77, what's the number? 490
times.
490 times. And what did the disciples think?
More faith.
What did they think they needed?
More faith.
More faith. I can't do that. Give us more faith. That's what they were thinking. And Yehoshua says, your understanding is completely wrong. This is not a faith problem, guys. And they go, what do you mean? We can't do that with that. You have to give us more faith to do it. He goes, if you have faith like a seed, you know how big of a grain of a mustard seed is, Hannah? Mm-hmm. It's like a grain of sand. Mm-hmm. Yehoshua said, if you have faith as big as this grain of sand, you can move that mountain. Do you think, just your feeling, Hannah, what do you think would take more faith, to forgive somebody or to move a mountain or to move a tree and throw it into the sea? Throw a whole mountain or to say I'm sorry or to say I forgive you? All of us would say, we would think it would take a lot more faith. And I have an opinion. I believe some of the islands in Hawaii, it might have been from people that casted mountains. Why not? Hey, you look, you see mountains right in the... When I went to Hawaii, I saw a mountain sticking out of the water. Well, I've heard about this. No, that came from a volcano. I'm like, whatever. I'm going to say that somebody cast it. Maybe it was Yehoshua. Maybe it was in his 40 days in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Right? How can we speak to a mountain and move it with our words? How did the mountain get put there in the first place? Words.
By
words. Words. Mm-hmm. How did the tree get there in the first place? Words. How did light come out? Words. How did Joshua or Yehoshua say, sun over Gibeon and moon, stand still?
Yeah.
How in the world could words stop without messing up all the gravities and stuff? Because words and power and authority is how everything was built. They looked at Jesus Christ and said, what kind of man is this? He speaks to trees, he speaks to oceans, and they listen to him and he goes, where have you guys been? Have you read Genesis? Because that's the glue that put everything together in the first place. But the whole thing is, where was the error here? They had a wrong understanding of faith. You don't need more faith. How many people here feel like you need more faith sometimes? I know what I need to do. I just can't do it. I'm sorry again. I know, I'll give it up. Oh God, I'll give it up tomorrow, or it's a pack of cigarettes or something. The next day, oh man, I'm back. Or with me, it was energy drinks. I couldn't believe how much I was actually drinking. I lost control. I mean, just give me more faith. And we might even say it. Give me more faith. You don't need more faith. You know what you need to do? Activate your faith. Activate it. Yehoshua was teaching his disciples, they already had enough faith. The difference was they were not activating what they already had. It's a neat thing. I was talking to my brother recently, and he's starting to seed his yard. And I was like, this early? He goes, why? I can water the heck out of it. I don't have to worry about things freezing. And while I was talking to him, as I was driving, he goes, the wonderful thing about seeds is they know exactly what to do if you activate them. I heard a teaching by John Lynn once, and he said that in one of the Pharaoh's tombs, an ancient Egyptian tomb, maybe 1,000, 2,000 years old, they found pots of things and stuff like that. And some of it, they found some seeds. So the Pharaoh could take some of those plants. And that's what they thought. The Pharaoh's going to wake up someday and be like, who are you? My name's Yehoshua. Where's my pyramid? We got to speed this thing up. You missed. They took a seed that was 2,000 years old. And they released the power of the seed. How do you release the power that is inside the seed?
Feeding it.
Water.
You release it. Do you have to tell a grass where to grow, which direction? How come we don't have to tell grass? Isn't that neat? We don't have to tell a tree to go, you go this way. Hey, listen here. This end's got to go up and that end's got to go down. Isn't that amazing? This microchip. Then you think about the sequoia seed. I got a sequoia pine cone around. That's a small one. The sequoia is this big. And all the information is inside that seed to grow for 2,000 years. We saw General Sherman's a 2,000-year-old tree. It's twisting. It's moving for sunshine. It's pumping up water. It's producing things. It's repelling things. And it's all inside that seed. Have you ever seen what a tree does to bricks, masonry work?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It was inside that seed. We release the power. And what Yehoshua did back with the son that was demonized when they weren't receiving... anyways, the results that they were hoping for is he helped the father release or activate his faith. What do you need here? I did this with somebody once. They kept saying, "Oh, I never win." And I go, "Is that what you want?" "No." "You'll have what you say." "But I never win."
"No."
"Is that what you want?" "No." "You have what you say." "But I..." Hold on a second. Where are you going with this? Are you supposed to say what you have?
No.
Our Father goes, your words have power. And the greatest power in the universe is inside you if you activate it. What you got to do is activate these things. Like you have an app for these things. Activating things. Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. Yeah, we can turn there. Page 230. But, when we're understanding scriptures or doctrines of men or religion or things like this, you got to say, if people defend their beliefs like a house of cards, my father and I were talking about that when it comes like to Trinity and things. If you bring up the Trinity and some of this stuff, people will defend it like a house of cards. Get away! And if you say, how come I can't ask a question? Because if you say this, you're like, I talk about a lot of things. Why do you got to defend? And it's their houses of cards. So if something is legit, show me the chapter or verse. Let's look over this. It can't be one scripture taken out of context. I'm going to say this. They say, well, Jesus Christ, he already knew everything in advance. You know, is it Hebrews 11, verse 1? Would somebody please read?
Chapter 11, verse 1.
Actually, we'll read chapter 11. And I'll read verse 3. Well, no, verse 1. But faith is of things hoped for, a confidence of facts, a conviction when they are not seen. For thereby well attested were the ancients. By faith we understand the ages to have been fitted together by a declaration of Yahweh. A declaration is the rhema, a spoken word. How did everything get fitted together? He spoke it. Verse 6. But apart from faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing. You ever get to the point in your life, in your ministry, you're getting sick and tired of being asked to do things you don't know how to do? Why don't you just ask me to do something I'm good at? That wouldn't require faith. And then when we look at this verse, you go, was Jesus Christ, if it is impossible to be well-pleasing to Yahweh without faith... What did Jesus Christ do? Did he have to produce faith? People will get themselves in a real theological pickle. Because you're saying he didn't know what was going on. No, he absolutely didn't know what was going on. A lot of times when Jesus Christ spit and made mud, he didn't necessarily know what was going on. He's troubleshooting. But he knew the problem wasn't with his father and his father's will. It could be authority, it could be a power. And so even when what is faith? This is what faith is. And then this teaching is faith, power, and activating your faith. You already got what it takes. You know that? You got everything you need inside you. Psalms 33,
543. It's a lot like new things too, like when you're doing different trades or whatnot. You know, I don't know nothing about plumbing and electricity, but if you did it a few times and learned something, you learn it, and then you know it. And it's like that with all kinds of things. The first time you're like, what am I getting into? I don't want to do it, have someone else, you know, but you learn, and then you can learn how to do it. Then you feel comfortable with it.
That's great.
You know?
Yeah, it's very uncomfortable learning anything. Even when I didn't know Yahweh's name until I was like 19 years old, my dad told me, I remember exactly where I was on the couch. I looked at my dad like, if there was a name like Yahweh, Jesus, Dad, yeah, which, as my dad was saying this to me, I go, if that was true, everybody would know. And he looks at me and goes, go get your Bible. Dad, I've read the Bible. I read some of it. And I looked at it and he goes, look at the preface. Do you ever read the preface? Never. And there it was, Yahweh. I went, and my King James, he goes, yeah, it's right there. Because of the Jewish superstitions, they concealed it. that concealed the most powerful name in the whole world. What are the odds? Religious people concealed the most powerful name in the whole world. The name that's written 6,800 times. Yehoshua, or Jesus' name, is written about 1,000 times. His father's name is written 6,800. What are the odds? The most powerful name that's got almost all the powerful names inside of it. Nehemiah, Hezekiah, Azariah, Jonah, Hadassah. His name got neutralized, they thought. So then I looked at it and I went, you mean everybody else is wrong? But that took a long time. Then the next thing was, my father, I was leading music, and he changed it. It says, He is the Lord. And it's quoting from the Old Testament. And I got the song books like a week later. It said, He is Yahweh. I went, oh, no, I like this song. He goes, it says, He is Yahweh. Are you embarrassed of His name? Oh, man. Here we go again. Are you ashamed of the gospel? Okay. But I had to stretch and learn it. And this is all about a personal relationship. It's not about people following us. It's about we're going to get to meet them.
Yeah.
We're going to get to meet them. It could be tonight. He goes, I'm your biggest fan! And now he goes, nah, me. He goes, we'll see. I'm your biggest fan, really? Yes. It's not about whether people agree with you. His disciples, they left everything. They told him, we left everything for you. He goes, I know. You think the disciples ever wonder? I wonder if he knew if I left this. You ever feel like that? Yeah, I kind of forget sometimes this is being televised. And how many people here know that Yahweh has a really good backup system? He's got a really good hard drive. Nothing is going to go without reward or notice. And this whole life is not about getting people to follow you. This Satan and the adversary wants us to get peer pressure. And that's exactly what was going to stop that father and his son. And the neat thing with the son, the father, and that kid, we're going to get to probably meet that father. Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
Here's the father, in my opinion, going, I don't care who does it. Just save my son. Somebody save him. Here's all the religious people. Blah, 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 blah. But then here's Jehoshua. Here's the one. He's you're the guy. And he goes, you need to activate your faith. My faith. My faith. Your disciples couldn't even do it. Now you're going to talk about my faith. He goes, and Jehoshua's going, it's your concept of faith. You got enough faith. Activate your faith. I have faith. Guess what happened? Get out. See you guys later. Pack your bags. The demons are gone. Isn't that neat? Psalms 33, 6 through 9, we talk about words, power. Activating faith. 33, verse 9. Would somebody read that? It's page 543.
By the word of Yahweh, the heavens were made, and by the spirit of the ruach of his mouth, all their hosts, who gathered as
Part A. For he spake and it was, he commanded and it stood forth. Yahweh spoke and then it was. He said light be and light was. And his name, E.W. Bullinger says, he spoke and it was done. Mm-hmm. It's a done deal. And his son did the same thing. Mm-hmm. He goes, be it according to your faith. And the disciple probably looks around going, I did. You sure you're done with this person over here? This person is walking like they're still living. It's done. The centurion came and said, come, my servant needs to be healed. Jesus Christ goes, I'll come to your house. And the centurion goes, no, you don't need to come to my house. I'm a man of authority. You say the word and it'll be done. Because if I tell a guy to go, he goes. If I tell a guy to come, he comes. I understand you think he believed he was the son of Yahweh?
Yeah.
Yeah, he goes, just say the word only. Mm-hmm. Two times Jesus Christ marveled. One was because the unbelief in Jerusalem, or I forgot where it was. The Bethlehem? I forgot. His hometown. He marveled because he could not do many mighty works there. Why? Because his father was withholding?
Yeah.
Their unbelief? They didn't believe? They go, isn't this the carpenter's son? Mm-hmm. Two times he marveled. The other time was the centurion. He goes, just say the word. And Yehoshua goes, man, I like this guy. You just saved me about 10 hours. Do you think an hour was important in his ministry? Oh my goodness. I might get to take a nap tonight. Thanks, centurion. Say the word only. The centurion understand authority and a power and activating it. Mark 11:20, page 47. Yehoshua spoke to a tree. Later on, Peter comes to him, the tree you talked to, it's dead. Wow, it worked. It worked. I've been there. It worked. What are the odds? The first time I led somebody into speaking in tongues by myself. It worked. Yes. Not that I thought I doubted you or anything. Jesus Christ, Peter says, it worked in verse 22. And answering, Yehoshua said unto them, have faith, actually, of God. It's in the genitive case. It says in God, but it should literally say, have God's faith. Now, religious people, they've changed that. Even Rothman put in. Because how can anybody have God's faith? Does that make sense? Do you feel like you can have Yahweh's faith? Doesn't make sense, does it? How could you have Yahweh's faith? So theologians, they sit around and are, how could anybody have Yahweh's faith? Let's vote on this one.
Bless
them. Out? No, we didn't think so. Let's change that word. Somebody messed up. Because who could have Yahweh's faith? I wish they would have just kept reading. Because the answer to this riddle is right in the next couple verses. So you can imagine his disciples go, here's Peter going, I had a hard time about forgiving my brother. And then you're telling me to have Yahweh's faith? Mustard seed faith? Now I got access to Yahweh's faith? Because you would think Yahweh's faith would be a big cookie jar, right? I mean, he's got a big bank account, right? Mm-hmm. It's the understanding of faith. You got it all backwards. It's not big. It's activating what you got. How do you have Yahweh's faith? Verse 23, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say into this mountain, be lifted up and cast into the sea, and not doubt in his heart, but shall believe what he speaketh, cometh to pass, it shall be his. You shall have what you sayeth. How do you have the faith of Yahweh? You shall have what you sayeth. How do you have the faith of Yahweh?
You shall have what you
say. So how do you have it? I have the faith of Yahweh. I just acted. I just crossed over into a spiritual realm and I unlocked things. Remember Bilbo Baggins and the ring? Was there a whole spiritual war going on? Whenever he put the ring on, he disappeared and there's all kinds of things. There's whole other worlds that are going on here. And Yahweh says, you've got what it takes. You also got some garbage. You got some genetics from your Adam and Eve and some other things. And he goes, you have the faith of Yahweh. Not only do you have the faith to move a mountain, you have the faith to raise the dead. Well, how do I have the faith to raise the dead? It's just a matter of activating it. How do you activate your faith? You speak. Walk out. How do you have faith? I need more faith. I have the faith of Yahweh. I don't have the faith for my bills to be paid. Is that what you want? No. You'll have what you say. I don't have faith to get out of debt. Is that what you want? No. You'll have what you say. How do you get out of debt?
You say,
I am out of debt.
My
bills are paid. I can do all things. I'm strengthened for all things. Wait a minute. The most powerful man in the universe. Where does he live? Somebody, give me a pen and paper. I got to write this guy. Oh, wait. He's right here. Get out of here. Come on. Jump roll, everybody. Let's pull back the curtains. Now the one you've all been waiting for. The Son of God. And then he comes out. Da, da, da. Who gets all the glory when somebody gets healed? Our Father does. When you speak in tongues and you interpret or you prophesy, what does it say in 1 Corinthians 14, 24 and 25? Who gets the glory? Yahweh does. Have you ever prophesied over somebody? Do they wrap their arms around you and start kissing you on the neck? Go, you're the perfect human being. No. They give homage to Yahweh. If you give a prophecy to somebody, they start weeping. They usually walk off to continue the conversation. Mm-hmm. When we walk out in faith and we activate faith, how many people understand this life is not about our life? It's His show. That means the responsibility, even when we're going to speak in tongues or interpret, we'll go, oh, I don't know if I can do it. It's not about you. It's about them. Think about them. You got what it takes. Get in there. Get in the game. It says, Jesus Christ talking to the tree. There's a movie. Walter Matthau walks up and this woman's watering her trees, her plants, and she's talking to him. He goes, morning, Ariel. You feeling okay? Oh, I'm feeling wonderful. Why do you ask? Couldn't help but notice that you're talking to your plants. She says, oh, plants are living, breathing things, just like you and I. And they respond to words just like you and I do. And she went, how's the weather on your planet? Is it warm? Maybe I'll come and visit sometime. Jesus Christ was talking to plants. They're going, I think he needs a nap, guys. Everybody go get a blanket. This guy needs a nap. What's he doing? He's talking to trees. He's talking to wounds. He's talking to demons. He's talking to pigs are being released into the sea. Go, what? No, it was a whole other universe, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. And he was reclaiming our identity. How did the mountain get there? It was spoken there. How can you move it? You have the authority because we reclaimed it through Christ. How did the tree get there? It was spoken there. And how do we have the faith to move those things? You have to activate your faith. I have the faith, what it takes. I got what it takes. Say it. I have what it takes.
I have what it takes.
Say it again.
I
got what it takes. Say it again.
Hallelujah.
You are now activating your faith. Did you know that? How did that feel? It says the joy of the Lord and the joy of Yahweh is my strength. Laugh. Activate it. Laugh. Try it. Do it again. What just happened inside you? How do you feel? Everything else will reconcile to what we got. When you force yourself to laugh, you release faith. The joy of Yahweh is my strength. You need strength today? Make yourself laugh. Because Yahweh says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Be anxious for nothing. How do I get out of this thing? You got to release some faith, baby. You got to let that thing out. Look at this thing. It's a 50 caliber. This thing's pretty powerful. It's actually a lot like a seed. Because in itself, can it do much? Not necessarily. But if you release it, it can be pretty powerful, right?
Yeah.
Actually, this would be a blank. This is religion. People walking around with bullets. Oh, look at me. They're all blanks. I was witnessing to somebody last night, and I was talking about speaking in tongues and this and that, and he was taught, he went to Word of Life, and they're taught, you're supposed to wait around until you get this stuff. He got a little bit, but his wife's going through some hard times. She never got it. Who does it look like is withholding?
Yahweh.
Yeah, and Jesus Christ. So they keep waiting, and I go, wow! I said, you don't know how to wait anymore. You got to activate what you got. Well, how could I do this? I go, man, you guys ever seen Dances with Wolves? These Indians are going to go get in this huge war. And here Kevin Costner goes, okay, you guys are righteous people. We're going to get access to the guns. So they come, they dig up all the guns, and he gives all these people guns. And you remember the first scene of what they were doing with the guns? They're hitting people with, ah! And they're hitting you with the butts of the, and they're whacking people. That's what most Christians are doing. Activate your faith. I got some faith. We'll use it according to the scripture. Release it. What can happen is these are empty casings. Faith that was released. Put it into a gun. You squeeze the trigger. The firing pin hit the end of it. Boom! We should have empty casings all around our life. Everywhere. Where do you even practice? You don't go hunting unless you do some target practice, do you?
Right.
How many times are we not doing target practice? Then we walk into a faith crisis and you're like, oh, I need more faith. I need to activate what I got. Man, go do some target practice.
They'll take the cover off the scope.
Go talk to your car. Speak to your plants. Speak to your kids. Activate things. Every single day, release things in the world. And then the neat thing about a gun is you can take a bullet. This is a seed. And you can release it. And that's okay. I can just throw this into a fire, right?
Mm-hmm.
It'll go off. But is it very profitable?
No.
No. You can speak and learn how to hone in your faith, releasing your faith by speaking and walking out and rifling in certain things. Hone it in. And that's what Yehoshua was doing. In his case, it wasn't a faith problem, it was an authority problem. You practice this thing. Get good with the target practice. kind of wrap up here. But a neat thing is, when you are going to walk out into the invisible world, and one of the reasons why we don't necessarily have casings like this in our lives, we should have casings everywhere. We open up our door, faith casings. What are all these seeds, man? I've been working, baby. And we should be looking, who needs to be raised from among the dead?
Yeah.
Who needs to be healed? Kevin, we're so glad you got here. Why? So-and-so just fell off the roof and he's got a broken neck. Sweet! Let me at it! Why? We're going to release the faith. You release it. Speak it. And the instructor is in the room. And the neat thing is that when you're going to walk out in faith, prepare yourself for failure. There's nothing wrong with preparing yourself for failure. Yehoshua, did it look like there was failure with his disciples and stuff? Yeah. Do you think the disciples would have just said, it would have been a lot nicer if you'd have just stepped in instead of us looking like fools in front of the scribes, that little boy. You can do anything you want, right? There's nothing wrong with failure. When you're going to walk out in faith, we talked about this at Christmas with the kids. Are you going to pout if you don't get what you want? Address that. How many times have you tried to walk out in faith, you didn't get what you wanted, and you pouted? See if I try that again. You ever done that? I've done it. Or if I don't get what I want, I'm not going to do this anymore. How many people here know that our Father knows our heart and He knows the future? Do you think that those things could possibly be affecting our faith? Or could we be like Jonah, who is in the belly of the sea monster as he's going down into Sheol, and his last prayer goes out, Father, Yahweh, he repents or whatever, and then he goes, nevertheless, if I don't make it, I'll see you again. Wouldn't that be neat if we did prayers like that? I'm going to get in here, I'm going to raise this person from among the dead, and I'm going to wake them up. But if it didn't work, I'll be the last person pouting here. Or I'm going to say, when I release my faith, I am not going to blame you when it doesn't work. Do you think He knows our future? Do you think He knows the heart? Have you ever walked out of faith and then you blamed Him afterwards? Do you think that could have been a contaminant? I've been it. Let's see if I ever help you again. I had it until I needed something again. Wait, I need that. I need your help again. Oh, you said you're never going to talk to me again. Well, yeah, I thought you forgot about that. Confront these things. What's the worst case scenario? And if it doesn't work, the last thing I'm going to do is blame Jesus Christ or Yahushua and His Father. But we're going to learn. And every time we release faith and we speak, it is always better than it was before. Yeah. Even if we don't see the results. Did Peter see the results of that tree when Yahushua first spoke to it?
No.
Did it look like Yahushua failed? Probably. Why do you think Peter was so excited the next day? Oh man, I thought you were going to be really foolish. Now that's my own opinion. I don't know what was going on with Peter. But it appeared he was surprised when the tree was dead. We release it, it's done. We release it, it's done. And then our Father later on, He'll confront us and go, hey, I want to talk to you about something. Yeah, what's up? You did great. Well, I want you to go back to that person's house and do this and this and this. All right, Captain, do whatever you want. And He's delivered the messages. So we got what it takes. You got what it takes. I got what it takes. You got to release what you got. Release the faith. Make yourself laugh. Speak. Say it out loud. I have the faith of Yahweh. Say, I got the faith of Yahweh. Put on your sword of the Spirit every day. Your shield, your armor, all the rest of these things. Reporting for duty. And by the way, I'm going to make you a commitment. This day for the rest of my life, you'll be the last. I'll never blame you again. And I apologize every time I blamed you for my downfalls or for whatever. Because I know you're not the problem. And if I'm going to blame anybody, I'm going to blame Adam and Eve. They're not even in the room. You're in the room. And one other thing, but well, we'll stop this. We thank You, Father, for Your word. We thank You for helping us release the faith that is within us. We thank You that You have mountains that are all around us, and that we thank You instead of resisting You when You ask us to go down the path that requires the most faith, we thank You for helping us that all things are possible to him that believes. And it says, I can see this, there's a path, each one of us has a choice, and there's options before us. And many of the times we're just choosing the path of least resistance, or just a little bit of the obstacles. But that's not what our princely leader did. Our princely leader, he was able to look at Ninja Warrior Dash or SEAL training. And he learned to embrace the difficulties because he remembered his Father was watching. And his Father was well pleased. Our Father, my sons and my daughters, know that I will always take care of you. I will meet your needs. But I do ask you to produce faith. It's not because I'm not there. It's because I'm wanting you to need me, and I want you to walk out in faith. Just as a father, when he asks his kids to jump off a counter into his hands, there's something beautiful about faith. And I am your beautiful Father. And this is what is holding you back. You have so many dreams. You have so many things that are on your heart, and you're afraid to keep your heart open for these wonderful things. And you're afraid to even ask for them anymore because you're hurt. But I want you to know that it wasn't me withholding these things. And I want you to get up each day to say, let's give it another shot. And just because you didn't move the mountain the first day doesn't mean you have to quit.
Who cares what other people think? It's all about me. And what if your little kid tried to pick up your car? Would you scold him if it didn't work, or would you encourage him? Now I'm your father, and I love you and I adore you. So let's move some mountains. Let's change some things. And let's get these things moving, because there's a lot of work that needs to be done, and I got lots of rewards and trophies that I want to dish out. Amen.